Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Before the most recent COVID-19 surge, we've seen more traffic on the roads as cities and counties begin to open up a bit. For a lot of people, that meant going back to the office after working from home since the shutdown in March. And even as more people head back, many, like teachers, for example, aren't interested in doing that. So what do you do when the boss asks you to come back to the workplace during the pandemic and you're not comfortable with doing it? Do you have to choose between your health and your job? Well, joining us to talk about this is Janelle Colbert, managing attorney at the Colbert Law Center. And if you have any questions about this issue, we invite you to give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Janelle, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Really a pretty dicey question. A lot of people are concerned about returning to the workplace. And, you know, they're kind of wondering, you know, what should I do? So if you, let's be honest, if your boss says, I need you to come back, and you're not, let's say you're not a first responder, police officer, firefighter, paramedic, EMT, but say you're just, you know, good old working stiff in an office, a law office or something like that, but the boss wants you to come back, do you have to go?
So, you know, that is a good question. And with the restrictions starting to lift a little bit and things starting to at least phase into some level of normalcy, we're all sort of tasked with the decisions surrounding our workplace and safety at the workplace, most importantly, and what to expect sort of when we get back in. As a general rule, what I would say is that if you are an employee and, one, you're governed by sort of an employment contract, then a lot of times the relationship between or the expectations between the employer and the employee are governed by that document. If you do not have that document, and you are, which most people are generally an at-will employee, then that comes with certain sort of obligations, right? And that means that if the employer wants you to work on, you know, on site and at the in the office, then as a general rule, they are typically permitted to enforce that.
Hmm, interesting. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about returning to the workplace during the pandemic. Should you have to choose between your job and your health? If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, you know, one of the big issues, of course, we are talking about an unusual situation. This isn't just a situation that your office hasn't seen before.
Right.
This is a situation that your city hasn't seen before, that your county hasn't seen before, that your country has not seen before. I would imagine that most of those contracts that you're talking about don't have that pandemic line in it.
You're right. They don't.
So, you know, a lot of people are and are concerned. Can they, for example, force you to take a COVID-19 test if you have been in essentially a hermit at home since March, only going out when you absolutely need to?
So, you know, this is one of those important issues, because then what we start to talk about, this delicate balance between the right to confidential information of the of an employee and the right to be able to generally test for the protection of all of the employees at the workplace, right? So here's what the ADA requires, and that is that any mandatory medical tests, and I presume from your question, we're talking about they're making you take this test, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Any mandatory medical test of an employee can be required, but it has to be job-related, number one, and consistent with business necessity. Now, when we apply this standard to the COVID-19 pandemic, what that means is that employers may take steps to determine if employees enter the workplace have COVID-19, because obviously if that person is positive with the virus, then they're going to pose a direct threat to everybody else potentially in that location. So that is sort of the guidance that the ADA, or that's the way that the law is enunciated. And again, as you said, Howard, I mean, we're in a situation where there's so much unknown that is unfolding before us that a lot of these rules and a lot of these responses haven't really been considered. So we're falling back on well-established law. And in this instance, as it relates to that COVID-19 test of employees, they may be able to be permitted to do that under the ADA because a positive person could be a substantial risk to other employees.
And you are, when you say ADA, we are talking about the Americans with Disabilities Act, correct?
We are talking about the Americans with Disabilities Act, absolutely.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Has your job asked you to come back after you have been working from home for the past several months? Are you going to go? Have you gone? How do you feel about that? Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I want to drill down a little bit on this testing thing, because one of the things that really strikes me about COVID-19, no, I'm not a doctor, so I can only certainly talk about, some of the commonly known issues. So, it's been established that COVID-19 is highly contagious.
Right.
It is highly contagious. And the, the mortality rate, particularly for people of a certain age, middle age, is very, very high. So, but it's that way for the flu. Not as much, but it is the same way. I know that a lot of folks will say, pre-COVID, well, if you're not feeling well and it's flu season, just stay home, okay? But this is because the flu is contagious, and they want you to wash your hands and cover your mouth and do many of the same things. We just never were told to wear masks if you are dealing with influenza. But with this, same thing, wash your hands, kind of stay back. But we're also told to wear a mask, but you still want me to come to work. Is it the same thing?
So I want to distinguish one thing, because I think it's important when we're dealing with healthy individuals, right? Mm-hmm. And then we have that population that you described that is higher risk individuals.
For the flu, and because children and seniors, we've been hearing it every year for many, many years, the flu can be deadly for the very young and the very old.
You're right. It can be. And one of the things that I would say for those individuals who have underlying health conditions and they are in those high-risk categories, I certainly think that could potentially trigger a reasonable accommodation under the ADA, right? So one of the things that we would generally suggest is have a conversation with your employer, right? Discuss some of these concerns. And again, we have to distinguish between a group A that, is otherwise healthy, no underlying issues, and just has a general fear of returning back into, into that public life and the potential for exposure, versus somebody who is high risk, that if they contract the virus, they can have really serious, if not fatal, consequences as a result of the virus. So in the latter, what I strongly recommend is to talk to your own healthcare provider. You may qualify, especially if there is this potential for risk, you may want to look into whether or not your employer would be willing to allow you to continue to, telecommute and put other measures as an accommodation so that you can still do your job, but at the same time not have to risk your life while doing it.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about your health and your job. Do you have to choose between the two during a pandemic if your boss asks you to come back to work, back to the office? Let's go to Carol calling from D.C. Carol, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
So I don't know if this question is directly related, but what are the requirements for reporting whether or not you've been exposed to COVID or not? Or say for instance, I'm watching my sister's friend because she may have been exposed, and then I'm asked to come in. Do I have to report that to as sick leave or anything per se?
So I haven't been
exposed to it, but I am asked. But I'm isolating because I want to be safe, right? And I'm asked to come into the office, but I'm not called. I haven't called in sick, so I'm just saying I can't go to the office. Does that make sense?
So let me see if I can make sure I understand. So you're saying, if you believe that you have been exposed, mm-hmm. but do not know, and let's say you believe that you may have been exposed on Sunday, and on Monday your boss asks you to come to work, and you say, I do not know, but I believe that I have been exposed, and have you had a test on Monday, or are you going to get a test on Monday in this hypothetical?
Hypothetical, probably not, because it's sort of indirectly.
Okay,
but I can work from home. I can work from home.
But you can still work from home.
Office, right?
Okay.
So should I report that?
Very good. So, Janelle.
So here's my response to that. I think, generally speaking, if there is a known exposure, right, and like that, when we talk about a virus, it's unseen, right? It's not anything tangible. So what we do is, if there is a known exposure, I think that the way that the employer should respond, and they would need to know some information to be able to, appropriately address it. But if there's a known exposure, you want to then follow what the CDC guidelines are. So if you're at risk and you know that that individual is positive, then I believe the current recommendations is that you quarantine for 14 days. And so I think that's going to, in large part, be some level of a communication with your employer about the facts and circumstances surrounding your inability to report to work.
One other thing, and I need to add this for you, Carol, and this literally happened yesterday when the director of D.C. Health, Dr. LaQuandra Nesbitt, was speaking during the mayor's press conference. And you are a D.C. You live in the District of Columbia. And she said, if you have a test while you are waiting for your test, she recommended that you do stay at home, whether you're feeling bad or not. But while you are waiting on your test, now she said that is, her recommendation while you're trying to figure out whether or not you have been infected. So there is that other layer to that, something certainly to think about. But, Carol, thank you so much for sharing with us and reaching out to us. I need to take a break. But before we do that, I just want to share with you that coming up tonight at 8:15, we are going to have our Tuesday Newsmaker, HUR, at home. We're going to be talking about similar issues, about what teachers are saying about returning to the classroom during the pandemic. That is at 8:15 tonight on HUR at home on WHUR.com and all of our social media platforms. You don't want to miss that discussion. So stay with us. And of course, you can hear this in every edition of the Daily Drum via podcast on WHUR.com. I post it before 9 p.m. every night. So please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM channel 141. The original Quiet Storm is next on WHUR. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. We are continuing our discussion about what to do when your boss asks you to come back to the workplace during the pandemic and you're not comfortable with that. Do you have to choose between your health and your job? My guest is attorney Janelle Colbert, managing attorney at the Colbert Law Center. If you have any comments or questions about this issue, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let us talk to, I think we may have lost Diane. Diane, if you're out there, please give us a call. We will take your phone call when we can. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. One of the other things that is really, really critical in this, as we are, you know, trying to figure out this difficult and honestly brave new world, is if you go to work, for example, and you have, you know, your coworkers know that you may have been exposed. They know that, for example, you may have actually been sick, and you know you beat the coronavirus and you've been cleared to go back to work. But because there were so many, you know, unknowns, Janelle, you know, what if your coworkers start treating you a little differently? How do you address that?
You know, that is, you know, that's an important issue, right? Because with a lot of, you know, depending on the job, we know that sometimes there's certain workplace rumor mills, you know, discussions or conversations that can take place about another employee against another employee. As a general rule, what really is, what the law follows is that role of the employer as it relates to the employee, right? So when we talk about anti-discrimination laws, when we talk about general EEOC, you know, practices and those laws, that is typically between the employee and the employer. But what happens when you have an employee who is making another employee uncomfortable because of this issue? And honestly, I would say this is one of those times where it's really important to have policies in place as to how to deal with that issue. And that may, for example, require the employer to have a conversation with the offending employee, right? Because you have to dictate and sort of set the tone in the office as to what's acceptable and what's unacceptable. And look, we get it. Many of us are afraid because when we're dealing with a novel virus such as the coronavirus, and layer on top of that information that sometimes is ever-changing and the new developments as to how the virus is transmitted, Naturally, as just human beings, there's an element of fear, right? But when we're dealing with how we can address some of those concerns and how to make sure that we are respectful in the workplace environment of other employees, that is really up to leadership to put protocols in place that do not permit that.
You know, one of the things that what you just, you know, suggested, it harkens back to what we didn't know during the 1980s and during the 1990s about HIV.
Yes.
And where, you know, there was so much fear.
Right.
You know, about it. But, you know, arguably, the coronavirus is much, 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 much more contagious, than HIV. You know, HIV obviously dealing with either sexual contact or your contact with infected blood. But we're talking about an airborne illness, and it's still so many questions about how you get it. You know, can you refuse to, how do you, if you're just, you know, so afraid, even if you don't have any of the comorbid issues,
mm-hmm.
If you don't have high blood pressure, if you don't have diabetes, if you don't have any of the other at-risk issues that are very specific to people of color, particularly, you know, black people, but you're just afraid to go. You know, what kind of conversation, or, you know, how do you deal, you know, with that without running the risk of losing, you know, your job?
You know, that's a very real concern. And, you know, to your point about how much higher the rate of transmission is with this type of virus versus what we later, discovered with HIV, and it really being, you know, blood, semen, sexual intercourse, IV drug use. And now we have this pandemic where arguably you can be sitting in a bar or a restaurant or a doctor's office for that matter, and somebody that is not necessarily even showing symptoms. They could be completely asymptomatic but be a carrier of the COVID-19 virus and transmit that and expose you to that. So this is a real fear, but when we look at it from, you know, from a legal perspective, one of the things that we have to remember as a general rule, right? Employers have the right to set terms and conditions of employment, and that includes your work rate, you know, the location of where you work, whether you're telecommuting, whether you're working from home. Many jobs now do provide opportunity for telecommuting, but there are some jobs that you simply cannot do remotely. They require you either being in a factory or being in a warehouse or being in a classroom, for example, and you're going to have potentially some level of exposure. And so the fear is realized, but you can't, I mean, the employee does not generally have the right to dictate the terms of employment. And the employers do have a right, to operate the jobs and the functions of their employment according to their terms. Now, those terms have to be guarded, and they have to be lawful. They cannot be discriminatory. They cannot violate some other law. But generally speaking, they do. An employer has the right to sort of set general terms and conditions of employment.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Nikki, calling from Suitland. Thanks for calling, Nikki. What's on your mind?
Hi.
Hi,
Harold. Thank you so much for taking my call. I am actually working from home, telecommuting, and I have asthma. And it's well documented. I've had several asthmatic attacks at work. So what can I do to utilize the ADA? Is that the health professional mentioned something about the Disabilities Act. Is there something in place that I can actually, you know, use as documentation to say, you know, I, along with a doctor's note, of course, that this is what the doctor is requesting, that I have, that I be excused from being coming back to the office to during this pandemic, because
let's see what Janelle has to say about that. Obviously, you have one of the at-risk factors. So, and she says it's well documented. So she's concerned. What would you suggest? That what kind of, you know, what does she have to talk to her boss about as it relates to the parameters of the ADA?
So, Nikki, that's a great question. And I think you said two important things as a part of your question. Number one, you fit within that category of high risk. And number two, it is well documented. Those are two really important facts that distinguish your situation from, you know, maybe somebody who does not have an underlying condition and is otherwise healthy. So what would the recommendation be? So under the ADA, right, they define disability as a physical or mental impairment that substantially limits one or more major life activities. And there was an amendment to the ADA and sort of broadened that definition. So when anybody that is dealing with chronic asthma or a severe respiratory issue, that can potentially trigger that ADA. And so in a situation like that, Nikki, I would, generally speaking, have a conversation with your doctor, have a conversation with your employer with, you know, that medical information and perhaps reasonable accommodations to allow you to continue telecommuting can be made.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Nikki. I appreciate your phone call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We do have some late breaking news coming into the WHUR newsroom this evening. The NFL, the National Football League, has canceled the 2020 preseason. The NFL has canceled the 2020 preseason. You know, those games before the first official game of the season, when they kind of weed out, you know, the best from the worst. There will be no preseason for the 2020 year. Of course, all of this related to the coronavirus pandemic. They're also going to be reducing team roster sizes to 80 from the standard 90 for training camp. Again, that breaking news coming in just now, the NFL canceling the 2020 preseason because of concerns about the coronavirus pandemic. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I want to talk a little bit more about accommodations, because every workplace is different.
Yeah.
And some office buildings, anecdotally speaking, you know, I've had, you know, friends who they may have shared an office with someone, and now what is happening is that the people who are sharing the office, you know, somebody may come in every other day, the other person every other day, with cleaning between, you know, times. You know, certainly that is one of the issues regarding, you know, hybrid schedules for schools that have been tossed around quite a bit of late. But as you know, when you go to the grocery store, that's a whole different ball game. Now, we've seen plexiglass put up, cashiers using masks, gloves, 6 feet distancing, and the like. But who determines what is what the rules are right now as to what is safe and appropriate for a workspace.
You know, this question is on point, right? So anybody that is watching the news and keeping their eye abreast to sort of what the discussion is happening from local officials versus, from the national scale, right? So there's no uniformity. There's just no uniformity, right? So we don't really have any national voice coming, you know, from the White House, from the presidency, regarding trying to get these states on the same page. And what happens when there's no uniformity in how these guidelines are applied or addressing, for example, the wearing of masks and other remedial measures, then you have state A doing one thing, state B doing something, this employer doing one thing, and another employer doing something very different, right? So that's a problem, because a lot of the other countries that have been able to get a handle on this virus had one voice, right? There was guidelines that were put out, and everyone needed to follow suit. And we don't have that. And we're still, to this day, you know, here we are months later dealing with this issue. As it relates to the workplace, what, you know, should be followed is the general CDC guidelines, right? And so that includes making sure that the, you know, the workplace is properly clean and sanitized. A staggered schedule can be appropriate, and it has been utilized with a lot of employers, and it makes good sense. So if you're able, for example, to have, you know, half of the employees work telecommute on Monday and Wednesday, and then, you know, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, you sort of rotate to keep the number of employees down, then obviously that's going to help with the overall exposure. But a couple other basic, you know, principles that are put in place by CDC, those include, you know, making sure that there's hand sanitizers available, that people, to the extent possible, can social distance. You know, if you're in cubicles, skip a cubicle. If you can, if you're in an environment that it's more difficult, you have to figure out creative ways to address this issue. There's no uniform plan. And what's going to happen in some businesses may be very different than, you remember what we saw with the meatpacking plants, that
yes.
It was like, I can't remember the number, but it was like over 100 employees that had tested. And that's the nature of sort of being in that close-quartered environment. So following the CDC guidelines that they've laid out really is what most employers, if not all employers, should be doing and implementing at their place of employment.
So here's another question that I think is really critical, and it really kind of goes to the heart of where we are. HIPAA laws,
mm-hmm.
where if someone at any given office, whether you work at, again, a law firm or a TV station, television station, you know, whether you work, you know, at a factory, if someone gets sick, and I don't mean COVID-19, but somebody gets really, really sick and they have to have surgery or something, you often don't know why somebody is in the hospital, and you may just hear that they're in the hospital. You may not know that they need surgery. You may not know, even if you hear they need surgery, it's a confidentiality issue.
Right.
Managers don't release that information unless the employee who is in the hospital decides to do it themselves. But what we have seen during this pandemic is that when people have been infected, let's just take, you know, the federal government, there are members of President Trump's staff who have been, for lack of a better term, outed with a COVID-19 infection. We saw that a member of Vice President Pence's staff, that information came out. We have seen that members of Congress and members of the Senate, the information has come out, particularly even after a member who tested positive did not release the information themselves. Mm-hmm. So what kind of responsibility does an employer have as it relates to HIPAA laws and revealing this kind of information? I mean, could your employer get sued if I'm positive for COVID-19 and I don't tell, you know, and the only person I tell is the boss?
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody knows, and I haven't told anybody else, you know, is the boss in trouble? And how can you prove that I didn't tell anybody else?
Right. So twofold. The first question is, you know, whether can and should, right, an employer disclose the positive test results. So if one of their employees tested positive for COVID, you know, do they have the right to disclose that information to other employees? Should they disclose that information to other employees? And does that trigger HIPAA, right? So the short answer is this. Employers should not, and this is just a general rule, employers should not disclose confidential health information about an employee to another employee, right? So if there is health reporting for contact tracing, that's a different discussion. But an employer taking the confidential health information of one employee and disclosing that to another employee, you know, that's just generally a no-no. It's bad practice. But remember, with HIPAA, some people misunderstand HIPAA and believe that HIPAA applies to, you know, anybody who discloses that protected information. And that's not necessarily true. HIPAA applies to covered entities, and it's really defined by the law. And that's typically,
what is a covered entity?
That's a good question. So a covered entity.
Still working on my law degree there.
It typically relates to like doctors, treating physicians, a psychiatrist, a healthcare worker. It can be an insurance agency, right? It doesn't apply to organizations that are not covered entities under the statute. And a lot of employers may not fit that covered entity. In saying that, that's certainly not a green light to disclose confidential information, right? And usually most employers regard that information as confidential. Whether, you know, HIPAA is triggered or not, health information is confidential information, and it should not be disclosed to other employees.
So what should the employer do if an employee is test positive in the workplace? What happens?
So,
particularly if that employee, let's say, is a young person who is asymptomatic.
So if an employee tests positive in the workplace, there are certain requirements that the employer should take, right? And when we talk about, you know, putting protocols in place, that employee obviously should be permitted to go home to heal and to recuperate from the virus. There may need to be some level of communication about a potential exposure without disclosing the information of the employees, because that is, again, is going to be a potential for spread. So different employers have different policies that they're following, but as a general rule, the recommendation from the CDC is that it needs to be addressed. The employer needs to be isolated. They need, and anybody that has had any direct exposure, if they were in that general area and they could be at risk, then that would probably trigger that quarantine for 14 days and testing.
So if this is just so complicated. If an employee believes that he or she was infected at work, twofold again, what should the employer do? Is there a liability because of the complexities of this virus? And how do you prove that that is the case?
So when we get past really the storm of the virus, I think we're going to see a lot of potential lawsuits that are going to be filed based on negligence and whether or not there were proper protocols put in place. We're going to see that. But here's the thing with the virus, and as we know, and again, I'm not a doctor, but how an individual is potentially exposed to this virus is so fluid, right? There's so many different scenarios. When they look at, like, the EEOC and the ADA, when we're talking about tracing and whether or not we're able to establish that this was likely the result of workplace exposure, they're going to look at a number of factors. One of those factors are going to be the approximate time that the employee got sick from the time that they returned to work or was in that space, especially if that employee did not have any other exposure. Say, for example, they've been home, you know, quarantining and nobody in the house is sick. Another factor that may be considered is whether or not there are other employees that end up testing positive, and then looking at the time frame of when those other individuals test positive. So there's a litany of factors that can be considered to determine whether or not that employee likely, contracted the virus at work. So the second part of the response is, okay, so if the employee got the virus and now they have to go home, what, if anything, that they can do? Well, you need to look at, you know, FMLA. Yes, Family Medical Leave Act.
Okay.
And to find out, you know, whether or not that employee can be home quarantining because of that illness and receive some level of compensation. But tracing it to exactly where the exposure happened, I can imagine that will be quite difficult.
And to your point, let us just take, your standard, job where you have, benefits. Most people, if you have, sick leave, vacation, most people get 2 weeks of vacation a year. And you may get 2 weeks of sick leave a year. Well, quarantine is 14 days.
Right.
That's your sick leave. It's gone. You recover. You're back at work and everything's fine. And as we have seen recent reports, there have been cases where people get COVID again. And they have to quarantine again. Is that when you're talking about, family medical leave, for example, isn't it the employer's responsibility if you have an employee who otherwise is not problematic or has any other outstanding employment issues to make sure that that employee gets to quarantine without any kind of retaliation regarding, okay, so I've lost my sick leave. Now do I have to take my vacation? And after that, what if I do get sick? This is a really, really complex situation. What do you do? Real quick, you got about 30 seconds because I've got to wrap up. I mean, we could talk about this for an hour.
Right. So I would refer people to the Family First Coronavirus Response Act, right? And that's FFCRA. Take a look at it. That is an act that was created in direct response to the coronavirus pandemic. And that act allows for employees who work for employers of less than 500 employees to take up to 80 hours of emergency sick leave. So that is something that should be looked at. FMLA is certainly something that should be looked at. And then the employer's own ability to use their sick leave also should be looked at.
Janelle Colbert, thank you so much for talking to us about this really complex situation. Doesn't look like it's going to get any easier as we continue to move through the particulars of this pandemic. And certainly, please stay safe.
It was a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. That is the Daily Drum for this Tuesday, July 21st. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night. Stay safe.